run our election next year, or maybe they appoint somebody outside of the current group to do it. I don't know. Details. We can figure all that out. But I hope that all of you will take this in the spirits and it's intended and go think about this. I'm really concerned that the situation we're in today is one where we need to think creatively and innovatively about how to evolve the Debian project, or it's just not going to remain interesting forever. There is some evidence to suggest that no matter how weird the project gets, people keep wanting to join with us and do things. And there's ample evidence that no matter how crazy and strange it gets, and no matter how hard it is for us to actually do stable releases, we keep adding more packages to the archive. But at the end of the day, I think we'll be a whole lot more successful and have a much brighter future if we figure out how to evolve ourselves to some next state. And this is the thoughts that I've been having about how that might go. So with that, I've got about 15 or 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Rather than pontificating more, I'd love to take questions about anything that I've talked about or other things, and I'll try and answer. Yeah.
Would you see the board being like a really small 5-member or a 20-member team?
The question is, would I see a board like this being really small, like 5, or really big, like 20? I think the answer is it needs to be in the sort of 5 to 9 range. I have a bunch of personal experience working with AMSAT and a couple of other large nonprofits that use a board kind of model and where they end up electing officers and stuff. And my observation is you've got to be at a size that's big enough that you can tolerate at any given time a person or two who just can't make it to a meeting or something, but small enough that you can actually get real work done in, a moderate amount of time. Keith, you had something? Yeah, Keith is saying that XORG is using a 5-person board right now. 3 is really not enough. 7 is maybe too much. So, I don't know. These are details that I would encourage all of you to think about. I don't, if I had a draft GR to suggest, I'd throw it up here. Unfortunately, the nature of my life these days, work, family, travel, all this stuff, is that I have lots of time to think. And I have all sorts of interesting observations that I've accumulated over lots of years now, more than 10 years hanging around and trying to do good things for this project. But I don't always have time to take them to the next level and convert it into detailed proposals. So that's your job, right? Others? Yeah, here.
I spoke to Brandon after the election, and I got the impression from him that he wasn't impressed with how it's going to figure it out at all.
It's pretty clear that he intends to use it. I don't think he intends to make a big, high-profile deal about it. There's
That's right.
That's right.
Whether it's visible up front or whether in subsequent he says you and you.
That's right. I mean, I think this is true for every Debian project leader, whether they talk about it or not. They all have the group of guys they go have a beer with. They all have the group of people they hang out with on some IRC channel with. They all have people they, forward emails back and forward to. It's human nature. We're all people, right? And that's how people work with each other and interact. I think the thing that was a little different this time around was the fact that a group of people sort of stepped up and said, we really think this would be, that the current model of electing one DPL, isn't the perfect solution. Is there some way we can address that and do it in the context of the current constitution? And, all the conversation, you've probably read most, if not all, of what flew back and forth on Dash Vote. I don't know that anybody reached any really, brilliant conclusions about all of this, but Brandon and the rest of the guys that are on that SCUD list were all part of the conversation I was having yesterday and today about, what they would like me to say about this today. These thoughts towards the end, and particularly the, SCUD is a hack stuff, that's me. But it's been interesting. Steve Lankasek has been, I think, very good at, helping to provide some perspective from that side of the project. And Jerome is amazingly energetic. He's willing to go tackle almost anything. And he seems it helps him a lot, I think, to have a little guidance about which things he ought to go tackle. I think I have a better idea of how Andreas would have used this team than I do Brandon. because this started out as Jerome and Andreas, and they sort of, well, Andreas is the one who approached me and asked me if I would, you know, participate and help him if he got elected and that sort of thing. And I said yes. And then Brandon's inclusion in the team for me was sort of interesting. I think it was actually a brilliant move in a certain sense, because whether you realize it down here, whether we realize it, you know, all around the world, he has an amazing following in certain parts of the world. And in places where there are a lot of Debian developers. And I think if you look at the election results this year, you know, this wasn't a squeaker. So at the end of the day, you know, regardless of, you know, what the history might be or how anybody feels, this is one of those things where if there's an opportunity for us to help make him better at being VPL, then I'm all for it. So we'll see how this works out. Now, how does that lead immediately to this kind of a proposal? It doesn't really. I've been thinking about this since before this whole SCUD thing came along. And I don't know, Mako and I had conversations about this board thing, but we were really, you know, the last time we talked about it, we were really thinking more in terms of, you know, should we do some kind of a Debian Foundation thing to replace SPI and its relationship with Debian? And I think those of us involved with SPI eventually decided that that was kind of stupid. The paperwork involved in getting a 501c3 filing in the U.S. and so forth is kind of onerous. It would be a whole lot better to fix what we had than start over again, et cetera, et cetera. But the relationship between SPI and Debian right now is one where SPI provides some infrastructure and services to the project, but it certainly doesn't try to tell Debian what to do. And so it's sort of the, is there something between what we have right now and, you know, this set of umbrella services that SPI provides that would be useful? And that's kind of where my brain's going. Gus?
I'm sorry, I'm on that note. SPI is almost zero value outside the US.
Yes, that's true. So SPI has kind of ended up organizing some activities. Mako could speak to this better, particularly the Brazilian and European.
Yeah, the trademark thing is actually, that's not a very good enough, because we have a trademark. We have a lawyer now, our general counsel for SPI, who's very aggressive in terms of people say that there's problems with the trademark. And actually, one of the, I guess, upsides, we've been able to use the kind of globalization of intellectual property in this way. It's actually been very easy. And we've done trademark work, and we've had lawyers working in, usually against, like, someone's claiming something that it wasn't, you know, or something.
Yeah.
You know, in situations where, like, we don't want that happening. We've had things in Norway, in Brazil, in probably half a dozen different countries. So there's been a lot of international work in that way. We're working on a way to make donations international, and we're also working on ways to kind of create a network of organizations. If there's so you're right in that you get the tax benefits of donating to SPI in the US, it doesn't transfer internationally. So
correct.
You can still get money that can be spent by the Debian budget if you don't get the same tax benefits.
Well, I'm just wondering if a central legal entity is the right way to go.
For things like trademark, it's the only way to go. For things like
yeah, this is the thing. Yeah, this is where there's this tension between the way we all as engineers and software developers and so forth think and the way the rest of the world expects us to behave. And the reality is at the end of the day, there are a set of things where we have to behave the way, you know, the larger universe out there expects us to behave. And one of them is around this trademark stuff. In the U.S., it's advantageous for folks to be able to get, you know, a tax benefit from donating to a project. That's what the 501c3 stuff is really all about. And, you know, my personal perception is we could do a hell of a lot better job in SPI at fostering relationships with partner organizations in other countries. This happens already with the FFIS folks in Europe, I guess. And yeah, it's about a half dozen now. But.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering if it's better to encourage those organizations to formalize and grow and whatever, and have them as kind of peers with SPI, and then have Debian managing those.
So I think we've really got, let's
SPI.
Yeah, let's keep track of the fact that there's sort of two, Let's keep track of the fact that there's sort of two issues here. One is the SPI layer and how it could work better across international boundaries. And you're absolutely right. I think, you know, a good set of peer relationships, particularly in places where there's enough interest in that area to make it happen. But then the other thing that's sort of separate from that is, okay, now how's the Debian project itself going to work and manage ourselves, and how are we going to make infrastructure decisions and so on? And right now, today, you know, we have a particular model that's, you know, written into our constitution that dates from, I guess Ian Jackson did most of the draft of that. Various of us contributed to it back in, I don't even remember when it was. It's been a bunch of years. It was after the social contract and DFSG, but I don't know. Somebody might remember the date. I don't. But it's lived pretty well for a long time. And some of the things that are in there, like our method of voting, are things that I think actually work pretty well for the kind of things we need to do. But some of the other bits and pieces about how roles are and responsibilities are divided, I think it's time for us to look at maybe changing. Mako, do you have something else you wanted to? Right.
The same way that it has in the regulation
and
from one to
the right.
But I think that this model of working with embedded constitutions to bring in that role of kind of.
I mean, I will freely admit that during my time as DPL, one of the things that I loathed was the idea that somebody would, you know, inject a significant GR while I was DPL. And the reality is that they're always kind of disruptive. They cause us to stop. We spend a lot of time thinking about it. It's our nature to do a couple thousand emails on a list somewhere, arguing with each other about the finer points of it, even if we all agree on the basic ideas. It's kind of weird to me the kinds of hacks that I think we've been using the last couple of years to achieve some of these results. I'd much rather fix the root cause of the problem. That's the engineer in me, you know, squeaking out. So I don't know. That's what gets me to thinking this way. And again, you know, I'm not spending as many hours thinking about this project as anybody I know, but that doesn't mean I necessarily have had any great wisdom in it. So look, this. So let me when we don't release now instead of, you know, 18 months, steps to get a release to happen, and it's going to take that kind of conscious activity for us to ourselves more harm by not releasing, but I don't know about the rest of the world. But you know, damn it, let's get Sarge released.
It just works. I expect it would just work for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it going to work? There we go.
All of its internal operations, all the data collection, all of the, eventually all the flight control, in fact, will be run to last summer. And then we have, you know, commercial airlines and that kind of stuff. Okay, it's a sounding rocket. Eventually, what we'd like to be able to do is we'd like to be able to also go up, get up high enough and go fast enough. Remember that